None of you know anything about me and why I'm here and what makes me and things that I've gone through. And so, like, I don't feel comfortable in any of this because nobody's even asked, because all we do is talk about stupid. And so, like, I don't want to talk to anybody.
This is Lizzie Pace.
This is Bachelor Clues. Welcome to Game of Roses, an in-depth evaluation of The Bachelor and Bachelorette as games, as sports. Using statistics, we break down the plays of virtually every player in the game, what they need to be doing better to take one of two prizes, the crown or the ring.
Both of us are reeling from this week's episode.
Obviously, we got half an episode this week. They filled in the other half of the episode with a clip show, literally using clips from this very episode. They were recapping for us something that happened 20 minutes prior to what we were watching.
That we already saw. It wasn't even like, these are the scenes you missed exactly from this episode.
And then the last 5 minutes of this was a teaser for the rest of the season in which they give away what seems like a very major plot point, that she kicks Luke off the show because he questions her sexual purity. Of course, we know in Lord Harrison's kingdom, anything goes.
And that he maybe comes back and proposes to her.
I would assume. Who else could it be? He's the only one who would do such a thing.
No.
So these are all the things that we learn. But let's discuss the things we can discuss, the things that actually did happen in this episode, okay? So, first was, we open with Hannah and Luke on a dinner date, the second half of the episode that they dragged out much longer than possible.
Last week.
The important things that we learn here are, Luke says nothing new of value. He offers no new display of emotion as she is requesting.
He steps 4 paces back and screams at her.
Right. That was him, in quotes, showing emotion. Right. But he doesn't deliver anything tangible behind it. Somehow the gaslighting works on her. Somehow. We know how. It's the producers. All of this is written. All of this is scripted. They went to her and said, look, we know he's frustrating, but here's what you don't have to give him a rose.
You feel a real connection with him,
exactly,
don't you?
You gave him the first impression, Rose. Yeah. I mean, that must mean something. And so they plant the idea in her mind. You don't have to give him this rose, but let him stick around until the rose ceremony. And then if he changes his ways in a sufficient enough manner that you want to keep him, you can do it then. But this will put him on notice and it'll let the other guys know that you're not 100% too. And she says, you know what? That's a good idea.
That's a way to have her cake and eat it too.
So Luke manages to stave off destruction. And I can only describe it as poor play as well. He very easily could have played a personal tragedy card there and saved himself in displaying vulnerability, emotions, et cetera, all the things she's demanding.
Right.
It was a clear-cut situation for the PTC, and he did not pull it.
Everyone has a PTC.
That's
that
right.
Is really
and
important.
Even if you don't. He already has one, though. We know what it is. He was not the man that he wanted to be. That's his PTC. I was leading a life of
Debauchery,
sexual misconduct, drug abuse, certainly anabolic steroids. Doesn't do any of that. Instead, he just doubles down on, he says he's sorry and kind of parrots back to her whatever she's saying and makes her think he's changed or she's crazy. And that's what we're to believe.
I was being held back on the date,
right,
just as you just said to me. And I genuinely want to marry you.
All of
that's
this,
all
though,
I want.
It just seems too unbelievable to me. It has to be the producer's hand because the producers realize that at this point, if Luke goes home, the rest of their show is, whatever, 8 best friends palling around Scotland while they're trying to date the same girl. They need the drama. They need conflict, and they know that by putting him back into the ointment, it will fester. So that's what they've done here.
That is the other option for why we were just forced to watch this hour-long clip show, is that...
Yeah.
They were like, we don't have that much going on the rest of the time once Luke leaves.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, Hannah comes back in after all this. He's come back to the house. The guys are forced to accept him, even though they get in these tiffs. And eventually, Hannah comes out and says the Lord has placed a verse on her heart. And this is how God chooses to communicate to her, to say, get back in that show and be open with these guys. He doesn't deliver to her a message of world peace. Instead, It's how to be a better bachelorette. That's God's message.
You're forgetting that this is right after steroids. Luke went to church and prayed at the altar.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
The next night, mm-hmm. she gets a verse placed on her.
Oh, you're right. Can't be it's real. Coincidence. It's real. It was God hearing Luke's prayers, and his prayers were, let me win the show because I need more IG followers.
So Hannah, she tells them all to play their PTCs this episode. Cheers to continuing on in our relationships and being comfortable in sharing the uncomfortable.
Right. She's forcing out the PTC. She's saying, this, gentlemen, is the PTC round. May the highest card win. Let's see what you got. And then we were cheated of it.
No, we didn't get.
We still don't know any PTC. Of their PTCs. Interesting.
No, we know Mike's PTC.
What but is
he
that?
Already oh, had, he the miscarriage. On, he wasn't on this date, was he?
No. At some point, Luke instigates a fight between them all, and they're all yelling, and yeah. Hannah's on the other side in a room with some other guy, and she comes in there and says, stop, and she's mad at them for being mad, and it's like, you know, she wants these 10 guys who are all competing in a game of psychological trauma to see who can have sex with her first. She wants them to play nice and have fun doing it. She's yeah. like outraged that
Even
they're fighting
have,
with
you
each
have
other.
Nothing else to do. You can't look at your phone. You can't talk to your yeah. friends or relatives. All you can do is talk to these other guys who are making out with me at the same time.
Yeah, and you better all behave.
So it comes out that Jed... No, not fucking Jed. Garrett had told Luke, keep our names out of your mouth.
Right.
And then he went on the date. And then Garrett follows up with
yeah.
Hannah and is like, did he mention any of us? And she's like, well, he didn't really mention anyone except these three people. And then that all gets brought out in the group.
Yeah, that's right. And so at this moment, we're reminded of a very simple strategy within the game. Stay out of it. Be aloof. You see drama, go in another room. You don't even want to be in her eyeline because we witness in that moment, she gets so frustrated and so angry, she blames everyone present.
Yeah.
And now, whether...
Even though some of the guys haven't even spoken.
Exactly. If you're just sitting on the couch, you're viewed as complicit. So... This is a moment when you have to make a decision as a player between screen time, which is all important because screen time does equal Instagram followers, and potential detrimental involvement in a dramatic situation. And you have to do the weight in your mind. You have to do that math right there and figure out, should I stay and risk her ire, or should I go and potentially not be involved in a big moment in the show? And in this case, it was worse to stay than it was to have left.
But here's the problem. She left who? Connor or Tyler, one of the tall guys.
Yeah.
If one of them had stayed out, they could have waited for her to come crying and be like the one to comfort her. Oh, I'm sorry about what happened in the other room. You know.
Of course.
No one did that. But he came in and just
yep.
watched the whole
He thing. Was lurking in the background.
And
he was
no
in a lot of those shots.
Her, except for Daddy.
Yeah, Chris Harrison is the only comfort you can seek in a moment like this. He came in and gave her a fucking exhaustively long hug, just siphoning her soul right there.
Dylan and Devin or something that get called out and they put their arm around their shoulder.
Oh,
One
God.
One of the guys puts his arm
yeah.
around the other guy's shoulder.
Like primitive human being type shit. Like you see chimpanzees doing that when they get into wars with other tribes and they're blustering up. They'll like yeah. hang an arm over each other's shoulder and kind of jump mm-hmm. around. It's like, we're on this team. You're on that team. Fuck you.
Yeah. What'd you say about us, Luke? How does it end? Does anyone get to play their PTC? No. We hear not a single additional PTC.
Well, Chris Harrison also gaslights her.
Oh,
when
yeah.
he's there hugging her, he says, they're acting so crazy because they're so in love with you. You got 10 guys in there who love you so much that their emotions get high. That's all that's going on here.
Yeah.
We didn't put a literal psychopath in a group of people in a highly volatile psychological situation to see if we can make them explode for television ratings. That's not what's
Definitely
happening
not.
Here at all.
They love you. This is your Cinderella story.
Absolutely.
Also, Hannah is completely gaslit by Luke as well, and she's like, yeah. well, I was the one who asked for their names. Da-da-da. And then by the end, Garrett is gaslit. He's like, yep, I stirred some stuff. I shouldn't have done that. I was petty.
Yeah.
And then Luke gaslights him again. He's like, thank you for apologizing to me.
Absolutely.
Even though he apologizes to like the group. I'm sorry if I wasn't mixed up in the pettiness.
Look, You want to be honest about the gameplay, though. That is a masterstroke by Luke.
Oh, Luke plays this episode wonderfully.
He establishes dominance in doing that. I accept your apology. I offer none in return. Mm-hmm. Not only does he establish dominance within the group and within the narrative of the story, which the producers are paying attention to, so they know they need to bring him back, which they obviously did, he also establishes, in that moment, a rekindled animosity between him and... what's that guy's name? Wyatt? Jed?
Garrett.
Yeah, he establishes that animosity again with him in doing that. You can see it on his face. They cut to Garrett and he kind of like shakes his head a little bit like, oh, this guy. So he's still under his skin, which is a valuable tool moving forward in the game, especially in these rounds coming up as we're leading into the playoffs, which is hometowns. That's right around the corner.
Lord Harrison gives the hour-long hug. And then we have the rose ceremony. And Garrett is gaslit and is like, that's right. Fault. So then people that go home, the people that get roses are Chill Connor, Tall Tyler, Dustin, Pilot Pete, Dylan of Dylan and Devin, but Devin goes home, Garrett, and Steroid Luke.
So we're still in the weeks of the game where you can float a little bit, but that's starting to dwindle. The floater spots are getting carved down, but there are still some.
Grant left, unemployed Grant. I don't remember who that was.
So we're seeing that strategy pay off, which is basically just being a nice guy. Not making waves, not getting involved in any of the dramas, and just, like, being pleasant. So Kevin had 26,000 Instagram followers.
Grant had 6,000. Devin has 6,000 about.
So just by floating, you can get anywhere from 5 to 20,000 followers, it seems like, you know, at this point. So these guys are playing the game right to the best of their abilities. Most of them probably know they're not going to win at this point. She's not going to select them, nor will they be charismatic enough to win the crown of The Bachelor.
So at this point, what you're going for is paradise.
Yes, at this point, what you're going for is paradise. You want to play up your rivalries, honestly. Luke and Garrett need to play into that fully. Because
they've already guaranteed themselves paradise.
I agree. I don't know if they need to play it more, but, you know, that's going to be their identity now. They are locked in that binary adversarial role until doomsday in the Bachelor Pantheon. And so, on Bachelor in Paradise, you very much know that one of them is going to start something with someone, and then they're going to bring in the other one to try and steal her. That will happen. So, in some ways, they have played their cards
assuming
right.
Assuming they don't win.
I don't think so.
Either. Who do you think wins?
I think it's going to be... Yeah, I don't know. Oh, I think it's going to be the country music guy.
Jed,
yeah. The one who openly admitted he came on there for fame, and I think she deep down knew, like, oh, I did too.
Yeah.
Let's do this. We can be a famous couple together. I think she sees the Instagram possibilities with him.
So here's a Bachelor in Paradise strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Have an exit line. If you are going to go home, what are you going to say to the camera afterwards? Because I liked Kevin's. He said she's not seeing that Luke is the issue. He likes to win no matter the cost. And the cost right now is Hannah's happiness and sanity, probably.
That is a good one.
Then they end with a toast. They have no toast. Hannah says, I'm just so mad. Good night. And Bachelor Clues had a good line. Sending him to bed without supper.
Yes, that's right. Hannah sent them to bed without supper. No cheersing, no clinking of glasses. No
champagne.
No pouring one out for Chris Souls. She just left. I don't know. Have we seen that before?
Probably.
Where it's like, I'm just cutting this one short.
This was maybe their last night in Scotland. It was supposed to be a celebratory evening.
Yeah.
Now they go to Riga, Latvia.
Mm-hmm.
They hope they've left the drama in Scotland.
Yeah, but of course that is not the case. So we have left one scene where she basically storms out and tone is, it's not working for her. She's having a hard time. But the very next scene is now her with the Dark Lord himself having lunch in a nice Latvian cafe somewhere discussing the very same thing. But it's at least 24 hours later, at least. I mean, a week later, however long, who knows? So, the conversation...
I don't think the time jump is there. I think the time jump is after that, when they go back to have the conversation in the Bachelor Mansion.
So you think they were in Latvia the next day?
I think they probably traveled to Latvia that night.
Yeah, it's totally possible. And in that conversation, she essentially says she doesn't see how this could work for anybody. Oh yeah, we have at the Latvian lunch spot, we have the strange veiled conversation about her sexual involvement with past partners, mm-hmm. where she describes it as giving everything away. But we know that means fucking. We know it means that. And she says, I don't want to give everything away. And Lord Harrison says, I feel like you're fighting a little bit in a creepy way that's just like, lay back and enjoy it. And that obviously is laying the groundwork for what Luke says later. Now, maybe, now here's a clue. Maybe, in fact, the conversation that we saw her have with Luke in the promo, where he's accusing her of sluttery, maybe that happened before they shot that. Is that possible, that they needed him to ask these questions?
I think that happened before the conversation in the mansion.
Yes, the conversation in the mansion is certainly in its own time and place.
Yeah, I think that's like after the season has ended and it's like, something. Where were you at this point? It was a weird... So that is where we are in the episode. They're back at the mansion. Hannah looks completely different. It looks like a lot of time has passed.
And now they are in a... they're essentially the hosts of a Bachelor clip show from... Everything coming from the beginning of the season up until moments that are actually in the episode we've watched this week.
Yeah, we recapped the first hour of this 2-hour episode of television.
So strange. And they even had a bloopers reel at the end of it, just like after the final rose, but this is mid-season. So are they trying to institute this as a staple to save money? Like they just cut a week of travel and they're like, fuck it, we'll just throw in 45 minutes of a clip show halfway through the season. They even did a clip of the Halo Top ice cream commercial, so they got another they double dipped into the Halo Top money.
Thinking maybe they promised 2 Halo Top commercials and absolutely this is their way of like airing it twice.
Absolutely did do that. But yeah, we got no new information after that, other than in the promo at the end they reveal to us that she's kicking Luke off the show because he asks if she's had sex with someone, and she has apparently. And then we also get teased that he's very likely going to show up with a diamond ring for her at the end.
Yeah.
They've given away so much and yet told us so little. It was like you had all that information to cut episodes out of and you couldn't have given us 45 more minutes of something. The clip thing is very distressing.
They could have done like a little like B storyline of like maybe a friendship between a couple of the guys who aren't them. I mean, they've made storylines out of less. They made a storyline out of like Chad and that Canadian guy lifting weights
absolutely
and eating meat, and they would just cut to it and have little weird scenes with them.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I feel captured and put in a prison for a little bit of time.
It certainly felt like something is up. Like they're not going to have enough footage for a whole season to me. And I don't know if that means, you know, she chooses the first guy after the fantasy suite like Colton kind of did and said, look, I'm out of here, fuck this. Decides to throw it all away at some point.
Do you think there's a chance that she says yes to Luke?
I do.
Proposing.
I do think so. All he has to do, look, the guy is a master at one thing. Whether he's ever going to play a PTC or not, when he does, that shit is going to be the atomic bomb. And so if he shows up after all of this, through all the ups and downs, and he comes to her and he says essentially that, like, look, we've been through
the
so
Jesus
much.
Story.
We've been through all these ups and downs, and I got to tell you something, like, I used to be a different guy. I used to do all this bad shit, and I didn't like the person I was. And so I found Jesus, and I'm still struggling to be a good Christian. I struggle with it every day, and that's what I've been trying to do here for you. And I just want to tell you that...
Sometimes I'm a wailing bitch lying on the prayer floor or whatever.
Exactly. He takes 4 feet back up and he screams to the heavens, Jesus, help me! He shows his true emotions. And then Jesus channels himself through his body.
I would love to see him test how religious she is. I mean...
Well, he's doing it in the next episode, but he's going old school.
The marriage bed should be kept pure.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just like manga guy from last Bachelorette season who was like, I gotta keep the bloodline pure or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know why you're saying we didn't learn any new information about Hannah. We learned about what she called her zit.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry. We learned about
she's
Marcus.
So real.
Jesus Christ.
She's so real she names her zit.
Yeah, she's the realist. But yeah, all in all, a shitty episode, to be sure. How many guys are left now? Like 10 or something?
Mike and Jed already had roses, right? And then how many did they get?
Six. So there's eight left. And they're going to be kicking off a couple. When are hometowns? Maybe three episodes? Well, we don't even know because this weird episode structure they're doing now. Like,
yeah.
That last 45 minutes of recap, I have no idea how they're going to actually structure the presentation of the game this year. Because that was nothing. It was just like, is that halftime, essentially?
Do you think that was them trying to restructure it so that they get back in it where the episode leads up to a rose ceremony at the end of the episode? Because we haven't had that. I wonder if Colton has set off a chain reaction where people are like, oh, I don't have to finish this whole season. I can just pick this person. Mm-hmm. And like, what are you going to do at this point? You've already shot all this footage.
Yeah, well, what we did learn is, because they didn't skimp on episodes, they like just packed in some other episodes where he goes and visits her and whatever. When Colton was trying to get Cassie back, you know? Like, they made enough footage to maintain their seasonal presentation.
After the final rose.
So I think maybe players know that going in.
God, we're probably going to have like a three episode after the final rose this season, as it would appear.
Who knows? God. Anyway, that's it for another week. We've dissected. We've torn it apart. We've looked at some good play, some bad play. We've criticized the show itself, the intentions behind it, as we will do every week. Until next week, remember, Lord Harrison is always watching.
Praise be Lord Harrison.